Dino Costa.
The following radio show may contain content that is offensive to some. Please listen by utilizing extreme caution. Ladies and gentlemen across St. Louis, this is the one and only Dino Costa Show. And it's right here, right now, on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Better than ever. Better than ever. And a happy Father's Day to you dads. And a happy sports weekend to you dads. And moms and kids, let's make St. Louis great again. And sports can lead the way. And sports can lead the way. That's what he said. Who? Dino. Because this here is the Dino Costa Show on this June the 16th, 2019, across the city of St. Louis. Make St. Louis great again. Make St. Louis great again. Better than ever. St. Louis was pretty great this past weekend, eh? Was anyone in the mood for a parade? Why, yes. Let's toast the Stanley Cup champion Blues. Speaking of toasting, hello, Jordan Binnington. At the rally down under the arch by the river. You wanted some Jordan Binnington emotion. Yeah, Binnington gave you some emotion, all right. I was wondering if Mr. Joshua, if Super Dave got any of that on tape, the Binnington commentary at the rally under the arch down by the river. And listen, I want to thank the Cardinals, and I really do, for taking two of three this weekend against my Mets. Any team that can lend a hand into the eventual firing of Mets manager Mickey Callaway is quite all right in my book. And, you know, I think it was the last show I did last week, right? I lamented the fact that the Cardinals and the Mets no longer, you know, a rivalry that doesn't have any serious juice to it anymore. And I also spoke about the fact that they hardly play each other anymore during the season, the Cardinals and the Mets. And, in fact, that's it. After this weekend series, those two teams will next see each other in spring training next March sometime. And Paul DeJong, who can't get enough of playing the Mets, is a little bummed out about that he's not going to see the Mets on the Cardinals' schedule the rest of the season. Listen, you'll have somewhat of a baseball season the rest of the way here in the Lou, because the Cardinals are, at the very least, a competent organization with a few nice pieces. You know, even if Paul Goldschmidt has been a first-half disappointment and their pitching has been the spotty up to this point in time. But, you know, you look at it like this. With the Cardinals, when you're two games up above 500 in the middle of June, right? Because what is it? It's June the 16th, isn't it? Yeah, and you just completed a road trip where you were swept for the second time already this season by the Cubs at Wrigley, where you just took two of three from the Mets, where you just went 5-5 on this recently concluded road trip, where last month in May you went 9 up and 18 down, and where this month you're now 8-6 so far over your first 14 games, and you're only 3.5 games out of the divisional lead, only 2.5 out in the wild card. And now you're heading home for what is a big homestand with 9 games against 3 teams, none of whom are over the 500 mark. Well, then again, the Cardinals are only 2 games over 500 themselves. But then again, speaking of the Cardinals and looking at the Blues this past weekend and putting a cap on the season with the parade and the rally and all that, you know, I was at the microphone when the Blues turned their season around. We know that, right? So maybe some of you want that Dino magic to rub off on the Cardinals. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Honestly, if I always shoot straight with you, I'm feeling a little bit underappreciated at the moment. In lieu of this magical Blues run that I had most everything to do with, of course. And as I watched that parade and the celebration yesterday, if anyone thinks I was slightly disappointed that not a single person uttered my name during that whole thing yesterday, glory of my ass, you know? How about some love for the Dean team, baby? Huh? With what we did for the Blues here. And how about some, speaking of love, Mr. Joshua, how about some love for that series on HBO that I just finished watching this weekend? I mean, if you're looking for something to watch that's worth your time, you know, with Hollywood spitting out one awful picture after another these days, head over to HBO and check out Chernobyl. Check out, whoa, that was terrific. Just, it was a five-part series, and it was outstanding. And how about Lucas Jones, by the way? How about him? Well, he's back again tonight. He's producing this here show. And how about those people pretending to do, again, I go back to this, it's unfortunate, folks, but they lure me back in because they just don't stop. And these people pretending to do some substance-based sports radio over there in Boston, USA, still, I guess, they're shell-shocked that the Blues canceled plans for their next parade, with the Blues holding their parade this past Saturday. What's the name of that latest show to defecate all over the Blues in Boston, Mr. Joshua? What was it? And I know, for a change, by the way, it's not WEEI in Boston. We had our little go-round with that amateur operation a little while ago. No, this one was with, well, that's what they call it, the Sports Hub. That's it, the Sports Hub. Which is a station that's even worse than WEEI, if you can believe it. Yeah, they're just like here in St. Louis, in Boston, they've got not one, but they've got two all-sports radio stations, WEEI and this Sports Hub station. And by the way, these two stations have declared never-ending war on one another for years and years and years now. And the result, I think, is that neither of them wants to admit that they suck. Neither of these two Boston sports radio stations, unfortunately, chooses to embrace reality. And so back and forth they go, you know, lobbing one verbal grenade at each other after another to the bemusement, I think, of the imbecile listeners who tune in either of those two stations in Boston. Well, these listeners have no other choice, after all. I mean, it's not like the Boston radio community offers them up anything tangible or worthwhile to listen to in that city. And I'm going to play this audio for you eventually on the show here tonight. The name of the show is called Zolak and Bertrand. Zolak. This one features former NFL quarterback Scott Zolak. And I guess they're big in Boston on going with former Patriots and Red Sox players as radio guys for some reason. But anyway, Scott Zolak and some fat bastard by the name of Mark Bertrand, who by the looks of him, I got a picture of him in front of me right now, by the looks of him, he's bigger than a meat case down at Schnucks. And he appears to be one more hamburger away from a six-foot hole in the ground, if you ask me. I mean, someone needs to get this guy a spinach salad and directions to a Planet Fitness as soon as possible, this Mark Bertrand. And so, yeah, I'll play the audio for you here, let you take a listen to it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I love the city of Boston. I mean, I do. I love the city of Boston. And as a New Yorker doing a radio show in St. Louis, much to the chagrin of some, I've got a healthy appreciation for the Boston sports scene that's been well documented over the years. I've talked very positively about Boston and their teams over the years, and happen to be a big fan of Tom Brady and admire what Belichick and the Patriots have done all these years. But these guys on Boston sports radio, you know, with the exception of a select few, these guys need to get a grip. They need to get a grip, okay? I mean, let's just say that if Boston sports radio, if the Boston sports radio scene had the ability to be as good as their teams over the last 15 or 16 years, then I think that Boston sports radio would be in pretty good shape, all right? You know, that's the problem. I'm just thinking out loud, Mr. Joshua. That's the problem. Well, I'm thinking about Boston right now. I'm talking about these two clowns, or this one clown, this Mark Bertrand guy, this fat bastard who does a show on the Sports Hub. And, of course, we've been at it already with the peoples at WEEI and the amateur operation that they run. And I talked about the Patriots and my healthy respect for the Boston sports scene. I mean, there's a lot of things I could talk about so far as Boston and New England sports are concerned, but how can I do that doing a local St. Louis show? You see my problem. You see my problem. Who said he had a problem? I just said he had a problem. All these sports, right? All these teams, all these issues, all these the talking points across the country, And what do I have to do? What do I get to do? I get to regale you with sports as it pertains to St. Louis almost exclusively, except for in rare cases. I mean, is that fair? Whoever said life was fair, though? But the people in St. Louis haven't yet realized just how good they have it with me on this here show. What show? The Dino Costa Show in St. Louis. They hem, they haw. What they don't realize is that this is 1964. And the Beatles just hit town. And they're playing live concerts for you 5 nights a week on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. I need elbow room, man. I need what I need is a king-sized national palette in which to paint my on-air masterpieces every day or every night here. It's what I need. I need to talk about what's going on down in Miami, Mr. Joshua. Up in Seattle, down the way over in Dallas, out to the mountains in Denver. You know, over in the Motor City of Detroit, out in L.A., down to San Diego, up in the Bay Area, in San Fran and in Oakland. Coast to coast, border to border, ocean to ocean, baby. It's unfair in so many ways that the Dino Costa Show is reduced to a single sports city with two teams, an arch, and a big river that flows by. I'm thinking I may actually change the parameters of my show from this point onward, I'm telling you. Well, I just might. Give me a Budweiser. Well, here's my Budweiser. You got yours? This one's for you. That's what I deserve. You know, that's what the people want. Dino, coast to coast. In fact, that'd be a great name for the show, by the way. Dino, coast to coast. With apologies, of course, to the great George Norrie, which is a show, by the way. I mentioned George Norrie and Coast to Coast. A show I love, by the way. For some strange reason, I love that show. Coast to Coast with George Norrie. You ever listen to that dingbat show? Aliens, right? Extraterrestrial theories, mind control talk, paranormal stuff. I've got no interest really in any of that kind of material. But then how come whenever I'm driving somewhere late at night and George Norrie and his goofy show is on, I can't stop listening to it? Because it's interesting, I think. Because it's interesting. And these days, how many truly interesting things are on radio and worthy of anyone's time? You know? I mean, unless you're having to choose between one of those two sports radio stations in Boston, I mean. I mean, what do you want from me? You know, it's the first show of the week. I'm riffing a little bit here. The Blues are cup champions, right? Okay. You know, now, where do we go from here? I guess Berube, a new contract that makes him one of the highest paid coaches in the league. Okay, fine. I'll sign off on that. There you go. There's step one in the offseason plan for owner Tom Stillman, who, by the way, speaking of Tom Stillman, he looked like he was having trouble lifting a 34-pound piece of metal at the parade yesterday. What up with that? All right, then what? We took care of Berube. Let's move over to Binnington, I guess, right? A restricted free agent with a potty mouth to boot. Sign him. How much? Call it 5 years at about $6 million per annum. That should get it done for Binnington. What about Jake Allen? What do you want to do with him? Bring him back next year to back up Binnington again next season? I guess there are worse options than that. You know, unless you want to see Ville Husso backing up Binnington next year. I know Carl Gunnarsson is an unrestricted free agent, right? Well, you know, you think about that Blues back line, the blue line. They already signed Bo Meester to an extension during the season, so he's going to be back on the St. Louis blue line next season. But what about Gunnarsson? He'll be in New Jersey next year, maybe, or in Columbus, or maybe in Minnesota, or perhaps he's going to be back. We'll see. Yeah, the NHL salary cap is supposed to come in somewhere around $83 million next year. And I was reading over the weekend. Right now, the Blues have got 16 players under contract for next season. I think they've got 16 under contract next season. So with the players that are under contract for next season, they're about $19 million below what the cap is going to be next season. I think I just mentioned a second ago, I think the cap next season is going to be $83 million. So a little wiggle room allowed in some ways for Blues general manager Doug Armstrong, who's still probably annoyed at those guys who worked the ice in Boston. Maroon comes back, no question, right? I mean, the hometown kid comes back, hometown discount and the whole thing. He'll probably get a slight raise. Any more free agents for the Blues to consider on their own club going into the 2019-20 season? And before we get to that, by the way, speaking of the parade and thinking further about the Blues and some things that you know they may do in the offseason, I've got a set of brand new steak knives for the person who can tell me what Blues player threw up before the parade started yesterday. set of new steak knives for you. Robbie Fabry is probably a goner as far as I see it, I think. I mean, probably best for Fabry and the Blues, you know, that Fabry find a fresh start someplace else. Oscar Sundquist, I think, is going to get a nice raise. He'll be back. Who else? Zach Sanford is probably, I'd say he's on the bubble right now, I think, you know. And I think depending upon what happens with Gunnarsson, I think you might say the same thing being on the bubble for somebody like maybe Joel Edmondson. So what am I doing here? I'm figuring out the Blues and their decisions heading into a new season. You know, hey, Dino, can you allow us to bask a little bit longer in the just one and nobody ever thought they'd live to see the day when the Blues won hockey's holy grail? You know, hey, look, I know winning the Stanley Cup is hard. Repeating is even more difficult, you know. So it was a great day in St. Louis yesterday. Make St. Louis great again. I was thinking about that today a little bit more, making St. Louis great. How did the Blues celebrate? They celebrated in grand style. And how did St. Louis, the city, celebrate the Blues Stanley Cup title yesterday? Sure, you know, with the parade and a rally down by the banks of the Mississippi. Budweiser's for everyone. But then yesterday, I'm on the Post-Dispatch earlier this morning. I'm on the website, and I see that last night and yesterday, seven people were shot in the Gateway City. Seven. So what does that say? I guess that nothing says let's celebrate a hockey title without putting a few caps in some people's asses around this place. I don't know. Yeah, and here in St. Louis, I was reading this. No, listen now. I was reading this today in the Post-Dispatch or on the Post-Dispatch website, which I've got to pay for, by the way, which is something that just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, in some ways it does. They've got to make some money. But here in St. Louis, there's apparently no safe zones, right? There's no safe zones. I mean, people get shot down by Busch Stadium. People open fire on others on the highways around here. And yesterday, the fun and good time started when some poor slob was shot at, of all places, Mr. Joshua, a car dealership, for crying out loud. You know? I guess that any time people might read that in the Post-Dispatch, of course, and when people start reading that Detroit is starting to inch ahead a little bit of St. Louis in the homicide department, people around this town start to get a little jealous, I guess, and they start unloading just to keep the grim statistics, you know, in the favor of St. Louis. So, but then again, you know, thinking of the Post-Dispatch in some small way, I think that the people that run the Post-Dispatch aren't put off by any of this. You know, because between the covering the Blues over the last few months and the shootings and the homicides in the area, right? You got to figure the Post-Dispatch is being kept on its toes with all the news that's fit to print. Hey, I'm riffing again. I guess I'm in one of those riffing moods again. You know, if you don't approve, I get it. You know, if you don't approve, may I suggest you turn the dial, locate another, you know, local St. Louis radio show that's on the air right about now. But that's right. There ain't no other local St. Louis talk radio show on the air right now. I'm afraid you're out of luck. You know. But then again, George Norrie is on right now, isn't he? Speaking of him again. I just might sign off right now, make myself a cup of sleepy time tea, kick back, and tune in the George Norrie show. You know? Nah, I've changed my mind. I'll stay on. I'll do the show as I'm being paid to do it. By the way, I'm still waiting. Well, I just mentioned, you know, you don't like it, turn a dial, go somewhere else, write a letter, write your congressman. I'm still waiting. It's been nearly, we're going on 7 months now. Almost, well, in the middle of June, another 2 weeks. I've yet to hear from any of the telephone tough guys in the city. Are there any telephone tough guys in the city? Because it's been almost 7 months. I have yet to hear from any of the telephone tough guys in the city who, you know, they're obviously too intimidated, too afraid to take me on one-on-one over the air. You know, fight with listeners on the air. Hell no. I don't, on this iteration of my show, I fight with those loopy and delusional sports talkers in the city called Boston. So it's, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, by the way, appliance discounters, phone lines, throw them out. Yeah, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Fighting. Fighting's that. Speaking of fighting, by the way, Mr. Joshua, did you see Tyson Fury this weekend? What a name, eh? Tyson Fury. Big, bad heavyweight. The gypsy that he is. Took out some other lug by the name of Tom Schwartz this past Saturday night. And, well, Tyson Fury is a guy who couldn't care less what I think or what you think or what anyone else thinks. Tyson Fury. You know, when Tyson Fury has something on his mind, well, he speaks it plainly. After he's done boxing, if he doesn't acquire CTE, dementia, or some other, you know, syndrome from getting hit in the head so often, somebody might want to hire Tyson Fury as a talk show host. He'd be entertaining at the very least, I'll tell you that. So Tyson Fury, you know, he's met the demons head on. He's got them. More people have demons, more than you'd like to think. Dealing with demons isn't easy. Maybe you've got demons. Maybe we've all got demons. Are you human? Are you listening to this radio show right now? Then I'd take a guess you too probably have some demons yourself. But Tyson Fury has done it all. You know, he's lived as a gypsy, right? He's battled cocaine and alcohol. He's seen an entire team of psychiatrists. He's given his life to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he knocks people senseless for a living. Hey, what a life, you know? He's a 6'9" Irish ass kicker who will bludgeon you without any remorse, Mr. Joshua. And as I said before, he's got views. He's got, you know, he speaks what's on his mind. And Tyson Fury's got his own, you know, personal views on things like, for instance, the gay lifestyle. And he's spoken out about his views on women in this modern and enlightened age we supposedly live in. Tolerance, Mr. Joshua, do you embrace it? Then you embrace Tyson Fury. Then again, some people believe that tolerance is a one-way street only, and that tolerance is only to be considered if you agree wholeheartedly with what they believe. Tyson Fury don't play that game. Like them, love them, or loathe them. It says here, by the way, that Tyson Fury is the best hope that we have for reigniting some passion within the heavyweight boxing community. And he made the quick work of this Tom Schwartz guy the other night in Las Vegas. Somebody get me Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury back in the ring as soon as possible, please. Anyhow, no two shows here are ever the same, by the way. Where was I? Oh, Tyson Fury. Well, you know, his past comments on, you know, things such as Christianity and his views on homosexuality are well known. The man has an opinion, right? You have an opinion. I respect your opinion. I have opinions, too, if that's okay with you. Do you respect my opinions? Respect. Opinions. Tolerance for another view that doesn't quite necessarily coincide with that of your own, right? Well, Tyson Fury has made it clear that he believes in, how should I put this, what he considers the natural order of things in terms of sexuality between peoples. And for some, this is enough for them to want to see Tyson Fury put to death, or maybe even worse. And so, again, I'm making my way through the weekend, and I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at that, I'm reading this, I'm watching that, I'm listening to this, I'm, you know, I'm getting ready for the show. And so I was reading about Tyson Fury, and of course he's got all these opinions, and he doesn't care what I think, he doesn't care what you think. I don't even think Tyson Fury cares what he thinks sometimes. He just speaks it. But one of the people that is upset with Tyson Fury is a guy that works at ESPN currently right now who goes by the name of Israel Gutierrez. How's that for Espanol? Israel Gutierrez, who has taken exception to some of Tyson Fury's past comments. You know? Hey, folks, listen, this is what I do here, okay? This is what I deal with reality. Kabish. It was a kabish. I deal with reality. Your bubblegum chewing and soda pop sports radio show is somewhere else down the dial. Go there quickly before you miss something really good. Anyhow, this Israel Gutierrez, who works at ESPN, and by the way, ESPN televised Tyson Fury's fight this past Saturday night from Vegas. And Israel Gutierrez had some things to say on ESPN about Tyson Fury and the way that Tyson Fury makes him feel, makes who feel, Dino, makes Israel Gutierrez feel. And I believe that Lucas Jones has the audio. And Lucas, if you have that queued up and ready, my friend, let's please go to that now if we can.
I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about this Tyson Fury Tom Schwartz fight that's on ESPN Plus on Saturday. Just wanted to let you guys know what it feels like to watch Tyson Fury, a man who's been very open about his beliefs, including the fact that homosexuality and the acceptance of it is a sign that the world is ending. It makes me feel like I don't matter. It makes me feel like my friends don't matter. It makes me feel like my partner doesn't matter. It takes me right back to my teenage years and my early childhood when I looked around and thought everybody was looking down on me, thinking that I'm lesser than just because of this way I was born. But I'm still going to watch, and I'm going to hope that it strengthens me, because it's because of guys like that that I have to fight every single day. Happy Pride, everyone.
Thank you very much.
There you go. That's Israel Gutierrez, who had his own strong comments in response, I guess, to the way that Tyson Fury sees the world. And Tyson Fury and his belief system, I guess, makes Israel Gutierrez feel like he doesn't matter. I find that a little bit interesting. I find that a lot interesting, I think. Not to crush Israel Gutierrez's world too much, but buck up, young man. I don't know how old Israel Gutierrez is, but, you know, if any one of us is going to go around life worrying or being consumed that much by what someone else feels about what we think, what we do, and how we do it, then I don't think any of us would have enough energy or enough enthusiasm to leave the house most days. So that's interesting. Can I hear that one more time, please, Lucas? Play that again one more time.
I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about this Tyson Fury, Tom Schwartz fight that's on ESPN Plus on Saturday. Just wanted to let you guys know what it feels like to watch Tyson Fury, a man who's been very open about his beliefs, including
the
fact that homosexuality...
A man who's been very open about his beliefs. Okay. I want you to know what it makes me feel like to watch Tyson Fury, a man who's been very open about his beliefs. Is Israel Gutierrez, is he open about his own set of personal beliefs? What if Tyson Fury feels uncomfortable listening to or watching Israel Gutierrez or writing something that Israel Gutierrez writes? Again, I'm not picking a side here. What I'm saying here is that this is just another indication to me that the world has this eggshell thin psyche where it is so, this victimhood stuff, which is so out of hand, where the world craters if somebody happens to crap in your cornflakes over a disagreement with, you know, with the way that they happen to see the world, how it makes me feel to watch Tyson Fury. How about this? How about not watching Tyson Fury? Is that an option? Well, I tell you, because Mr. Joshua, the thing is this, if someone makes me feel uncomfortable, right? If I say, you know, watching this person makes me... Let me give you, for instance, okay? To analogize it like this, Stephen A. Smith makes me feel uncomfortable. Okay? I loathe Stephen A. Smith. I hold Stephen A. Smith in utter contempt. Now, he's just one of many in the world of media. So what do? I choose not to watch, listen, pay attention to Stephen A. Smith. And the only time that someone like Stephen A. Smith comes into my mind is if I am perusing online or getting ready for a show, or somebody sends me a clip or says to me in a direct message on my phone, hey, Dino, did you hear what this idiot Stephen A. Smith said today about, you know, X, Y, and Z? And then they send me the audio, and then we'll play the audio, right? If I feel it's worthy of playing with commentary that would follow. But otherwise, I avoid Stephen. I avoid a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of situations. Why? Because they make me feel uncomfortable. And if they don't make me feel uncomfortable, maybe they get me angry. And I don't want to be angry listening to some dumbass, you know, spewing off at the mouth with nonsensical babble about this, that, or the other thing. And so I choose to go in another direction. If there's something on television I don't like, I turn the channel. If there's something on radio I don't like, I turn the station off to... I either turn the radio off or go and look for something else to listen to. What I don't do is get up on a soapbox and say, you know something, listening to Stephen A. Smith, I want you to know how listening to Stephen A. Smith, watching Stephen A. Smith makes me feel. As a white man, Stephen A. Smith makes me feel. And go on with some sort of soliloquy about Stephen A. Smith, okay? So I don't want Stephen A. Smith. That is just an example. All right? So how does in Israel Gutierrez's case, this ESPN personality, and ESPN televised the fight this past Saturday, let's remind each other of that. So listening to or watching Tyson Fury makes him feel uncomfortable. Well, how about this? How about not watching Tyson Fury? How about taking your own personal stand and not watching Tyson Fury? Not making a big deal about it. You know, I mean, listen, he wants, I guess he's a pundit, Israel Gutierrez. He's a gay man. Okay, fine. I respect that. But to say how Tyson Fury makes him feel like he doesn't matter, why would Tyson Fury, is Israel Gutierrez under the assumption, Israel Gutierrez should not be under the assumption that everyone agrees with his particular worldview or sexual orientation, no more so than I should ever be under any kind of an assumption, that everyone believes and is down with my thoughts and feelings on a wide variety of things. It's kind of arrogant to think, right? If I got on the air and I said, well, this is what I feel, and then somebody called me and said to me, you know, Dino, I disagree with you on this, this, and this. And I feigned shock at that. What do you mean you disagree with me? You disagree with my feelings on X, Y, and Z? Yeah, and A, B, and C? Really? You know, I mean, does Israel Gutierrez live in the world of reality? Is he under the assumption that the entire country, the entire world agrees with him, his views, his worldview, and his sexual orientation? What are you kidding me? That's kind of arrogant, don't you think? Kind of disingenuous in so many ways. So ESPN is televising the fight. I guess this is on Friday, he said, this is Israel Gutierrez. A day before the fight that ESPN aired on Saturday night from Vegas. And Israel Gutierrez felt compelled to stand up on a soapbox and grandstand. Well, I want to tell you, we're televising this fight, and I want to tell you what watching Tyson Fury makes me feel like as a gay man. Who gives a rat's ass, number one? Number two, so what? Tyson Fury disagrees with the way that you see the world and what you do. You probably disagree with many things that Tyson Fury does. Does Tyson Fury, after the fight, did he say, hey, by the way, I'm glad I knocked this guy senseless, ended the fight in two rounds. I want to say a few words here about Israel Gutierrez and how uncomfortable I was knowing that he watched my fight here tonight. Get a grip, man. Get a grip. All right, play it, Lucas. Play it.
Including the fact that homosexuality and the acceptance of it is a sign that the world is ending. It makes me feel like I don't matter. It makes me feel like my friends don't matter. It makes me feel like my partner doesn't matter. It takes me right back to my teenage years and my early childhood when I looked around and thought everybody was looking down on me, thinking that I'm lesser than just because of this way I was born. But I'm still going to watch, and I'm going to hope that it strengthens me, because it's because of guys like that that I have to fight every single day. Happy Pride, everyone.
Okay, so you just said that there's guys like Tyson Fury. I'll take your word for it, Israel. There's guys like that that you fight every single day. So that in and of itself with that statement tells me, should tell everyone, that you know, you're aware, you're perfectly aware that there's a lot of people who don't agree with you and the lifestyle that you choose to lead. But further, you're still going to watch because you think it's going to strengthen you? How is watching Tyson Fury going to strengthen you? That's like me saying, tomorrow, doesn't Stephen A. Smith do that stupid, silly little morning sports television show on ESPN? That's like me saying, you know something, Mr. Joshua, tomorrow, as much as Stephen A. Smith bothers me, I'm going to watch tomorrow. You know why? Because I battle guys like Stephen A. Smith every single day, and I'm going to watch tomorrow because, you know what, it's going to strengthen me. Are you kidding me with this crap? Play a little violin here for Israel Gutierrez. Grow up, Israel, will you please? Oh, we have other audio we're going to get to on the show here tonight, don't we? From the Sports Hub in Boston. Yeah. They still can't. Well, they're still shell shocked, as I said before. They still can't believe that the Blues beat the Bruins in seven games for the Stanley Cup. So we'll get into that. Lucas Jones is doing a great job already. He's producing tonight. You want to get on board the show here tonight? You can. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255 on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. You can email the show. It is Dino590TheFan@gmail.com. Dino590TheFan@gmail.com. 1137 across St. Louis, hour number one on this June the 16th, 2019 edition, rendition, an episode of the Dino Costa Show on 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com. Be stronger for listening to the Dino Costa Show. I'm back with more great stuff, Hour 1, right after this.